Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear is a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Wolf and Owl podcast up in the place, yes.
Oh, have you ever felt like this?
Do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is, guys?
It could be any time of day because this podcast is live in your ears.
Oh God! We should try and come up with some jingles. You know, like when they're on breakfast radio shows or whatever.
Oh man, do you know I worry about that being like a vibe of that to like, because I find the hardest bit of this is like any sort of performance is the opening bit, right?
Sure.
So I find that's a really really hard thing of like. I mean, we've got a sick tune that opens this.
Yeah, but then you have the sick tune opens it, and we should be riding that wave.
Yeah, yeah.
The podcast. But what happens is we've sort of done the opening of a garage tune every time for the garage night every
also,
time for the last 6 months.
Me and you have just had like a 25-minute conversation.
Yeah, that's not ideal either, really, is it?
No.
I mean, it's
quite an up and down conversation.
It's lovely to talk to you, obviously.
But, yeah, man.
You know,
I do look forward to when you are back on these sweet, sweet shores. And we can converse because obviously you're on holiday at the moment and I don't want to be a big dippy G that just keeps on fucking like hassling you on holiday. Because I know this one is like, yeah, this is her time with you. I get you like for the rest of the, 11 months.
Yes, I'm sure the swan is very much enjoying me being in another room as she reads another one of her books.
How many books has she read?
I don't know, actually. She likes a bit of crime fiction.
Oh, really?
Mm, you know, like the neighbor's dead.
Oh, what like sort of domestic stuff or high end?
No, it's kind of like I don't know how you describe this type of fiction, but you know, like I like it as well. By the way, she's got me into it as well. You know, like the couple from next door. Their kid's not been around for a while. What's going on?
I always think that I've probably got a book like that in me.
To write, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What an incredibly arrogant thing to say.
No, I just think, like, I think next time I go away, I'll try and write a book in a month or, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, that's even better. First-time author. That's how to do it.
No.
There are other people that go, you know, I feel like I've got a book in me. I could never imagine what it takes to sit down and write it. Whereas what you've done is you're willing to put aside a fortnight for it.
No, but then, like, obviously passing it on to sort of, like, someone like Lisa and then you to read. And seeing if they've got notes, and then like,
let me tell you something now. If you haven't got the fucking decency to spend more than 2 weeks on it, don't expect to be able to hand over your turgid piece of shit to me to sift through.
No, I just think I spent
a couple of days like passing this through my colon. I'm going to have a look at it and tell me if it's publishable.
No, I just think it would be a cool thing for you to phone me and go, I really enjoyed it, actually. I've read it on the train and on the commute that I've been doing. And no, I really enjoy it. I think it's actually a real page-turner. And I'll send it to you, like, so a hard copy, so you can read it properly rather than on a Kindle.
So it's a weird phenomenon here, because all this week you've been moaning about having to shave your beard off for this show.
Yeah.
And I'd sort of hoped that in shaving your beard off, we'd see a little bit of your sort of usual fucking cocky gloss kind of diminish. But if anything... I don't know if this is some sort of overcompensation, but you've gone in big time.
I think you know what it is hedgehogitis. It's hedgehogitis.
What's hedgehogitis?
Right, when's a hedgehog at its weakest and when's it its strongest?
I've got no idea. And furthermore, I don't think you do either. But let's see your theory.
No, a hedgehog is strongest when its thorns are out, right?
Its thorns are out.
Its pricks are out or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it's weakest
pricks,
when it's...
Its pricks are never out. They're never not out, are they?
No, yeah, they curl into a ball at times.
Yeah.
And they go in.
Yeah, but it's all prick, isn't it?
Actually, no, but then it's a soft prick.
What?
It's a difference between a hard prick and a soft prick.
What are you talking about?
Like they can extend their things and make them hard, right? So they're like little pins.
Yeah.
Or like it's like stroking hair and they're really soft.
Okay. Is that definitely true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Okay.
Do you want to...
I've never stroked one, but
no.
I've seen hedgehogs around.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, carry on. So what's the point you're trying to make?
At the moment, I think because my beard's not here, it's like there's a fire within me to sort of like combat. And what I feel like, look, not having a beard is, well, you've been here. I think like when we were first starting a podcast, you know, you did the shave thing as well. And I tell you, man, it
changes it, doesn't it?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, yeah. I feel like a completely different man at the moment.
But you are. But let me just tell you. Sorry, I'm slightly distracted because I'm looking up hedgehogs at the moment. But I don't think you look that bad at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think you look much worse than you normally do. Let me be absolutely.
Yeah, no, I feel much worse though. I look like a fucking thumb. I had to really accessorize. Also, now I'm looking at it thinking the glasses are almost. They work with the beard, but now they're too big for my face.
That's what.
Oh shit, boy! By the BTW.
What?
I had an eye test this week. My eyes have really deteriorated in the last 2 years.
Have you not had an eye test in 2 years?
No.
You've not had an eye test in 2 years?
Yeah, I should. Hold on.
That's about right, actually, I think. I don't know, I think
it's every 24 months.
I'm thinking of the dentist.
When you get to sort of like our age now, you should be going every year, apparently, every 12 months.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah, mate, yeah. And like the woman, and by the way, shout out to the woman. She was amazing. The Vision Express, very caring, very, very lovely woman. She was brilliant, man. She was
why some weird smile come across your face?
No, because I forgot. I wanted to shout out a name.
Did she tug you off while you're doing the bottom row?
No, I forgot her name and I feel really bad now.
Oh, okay. All right.
But she was incredible. And, you know, very like all the time, very sort of like, you know, conscious that number one, I had to get to golf, which was, I played the worst round of my life because.
You didn't say that, did you?
What?
You didn't say that at the appointment that you've got to get to golf, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's just like, how long do you think this will take? And she was like, probably about 40 minutes. I was like, any chance we can do it in half an hour? Because I've got my tee off time.
And she said, and any chance of you booking an appointment when you've actually got the free time to do it?
Yeah, she did.
Because just so you know, I didn't enforce this on you. Did you say anything like that?
She did say, what's more important, your eyes or this game of golf? And now, in retrospect, I played so bad at golf because I had like bright light shone in my eyes and I was conscious
about it. Did you have the little puff of air?
Yeah. Mate, but she was incredible. I've got to say.
In what way was she incredible?
Just very caring.
I'm not denying that she's incredible.
Very caring. I need to find her name to shout her out. Just very caring, very knowledgeable about all eye stuff.
She's doing your fucking eye test.
No, but she showed me the backs of my eyes.
If you'd have said to her, what does this mean then? Hold on, let me just get my... I'm just going to Google this.
Well, this isn't good. This is not good. Oh, no, it's actually all right. No, it's fine. No, I was looking at something else. Oh, thank God. No, you have got cataracts. we'll just look at this together. Put your glasses on.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I've not seen...
Oof.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Aren't the backs of eyes disgusting? Have you been wearing sunglasses every day? I've seen a couple of pictures that people have tagged me in. Thanks for that, by the way. Because there's nothing like when your best mate being in fucking Portugal and enjoying his time, and then you tag me into it by saying. And also, let me just say, by the way, right, I just want to say something to anyone on social media. I think it's fair to say, I will say at least some 4 or 5 times this podcast and most weeks on social media how much I love Romesh, right? Tagging me into stuff and going, oh, we met Romesh. He's actually really nice, despite what Tom says. I'm like, I don't think I've ever said anything that negative about you.
Yeah, I saw that message.
I thought that's just insane. But by the way, bro, you look drippy in that picture, man.
Thanks very much. Can
I actually, by the way, say I think there's a fresh vibe to Holiday Rom. I just sort of like, if I could be a butterfly and sit on someone's shoulder, I think it would be on Holiday Rom's shoulder for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Talk me through, if you could be a butterfly, first of all, to throw that away.
If I could be any flying thing, it'd be
if you
a
could
butterfly.
Be any flying thing, it'd be a butterfly. Insane. They've got a lifespan of what, 24 hours or something,
mate. But what are 24 hours? So that has anyone ever been disappointed to see a butterfly? Never.
No. I'd be honest.
If you're a moth, a fly, a bee, a wasp, a pigeon, any sort of bird, right? Maybe with the exception of a red kite, right? But
if you're a fly, a wasp, a pigeon, any sort of bird. Can you see the problem in that sentence?
No. Any sort of bird, by meaning like I'm throwing all birds. Okay. Right, because let me just break this down for you. Because you've got yourself a little bit confused, right? Right. If you are, let's just say, if you see a moth, you go, ugh, grotty old moth, like get out and you open the window, you try and kill it, right? A bee you feel sorry for and you're trying to protect, which I always think is just curdling and a little bit muggy for a bee, right? Because actually they're more powerful than we give them, like, any respect for. Wasps we're all scared of, we hate, we try and kill. Go up into hornets and stuff like that, the same. Hornet, you're not going to fuck with a hornet, you'll probably just let it out of your window, stroke garden doors, right? Okay? If you're out in nature with any of those things, you're going to probably try and run, or there'll be at least 5 people out of 10 will shirk and be scared, right?
Well, okay? One out of...
Flies are the scut... What?
One out of every 2 people, yeah.
Yeah, one out of 2. Yeah.
7 out of every 14.
10 out of 20, right? And then you've got flies. Everyone we've talked about flies until the cows come home here. We think they're disgusting. Right, you're just going to try and kill a fly. You don't want anything to do with a fly, right? Now I want you to just try and use your imagination for a second. If a butterfly was to fly into that room, you'd just go, oh my God, a butterfly. And you'd smile for a second. Mm. You might think of an ancestor who's passed or whatever, right? That butterfly brings so much joy. Yeah, it might only be here for 24 hours. But what a riot, just flying around. I mean, I don't know in 24 hours how far a butterfly, I think you could probably do 3 countries in a day, like the speed they fly.
I don't think that's what they do. But yes, I imagine you could do.
No, right? So then you've got all of this happiness you're spreading. You're not carrying any diseases. All you're carrying on your shoulders is a backpack of joy, right? And then you go up to heaven or hell, or up heaven, I'd imagine butterflies go to.
I imagine what the hell a butterfly would have to do to go to hell, by the way. I can't even imagine what activities a butterfly could turn itself to make it have to go to hell. Depraved little fuck. But just gripping up caterpillars and shit. Little nonce.
But then you go up and everyone's just, that is a joyous life that you've got there.
Sure.
So, yeah, if I could be, a butterfly on your shoulder, I'd take that fucking ride right now.
You know, have you ever been to one of those butterfly, like, dome places? You know what I'm talking about? Where you go into the little sort of sweaty... Yeah, I don't like it when they come and land on you.
Right, okay. I need to take you to a butterfly enclosure and open your mind. Because
Oh, my God. That's what it's called.
What?
It's a butterfly enclosure, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there going, what am I got? Eco dome or whatever the fuck. And
butterfly is literally looked around and gone, he needs me right now. And has gone and sat on you to bring you joy. I want you to today take your 3 sons, try and find some butterflies, and then just like enjoy being around them for a bit.
I don't even know what it would look like to see you enjoying the company of butterflies. In one of those places.
I just think it would be quite a sweet sign, right? You take away their phones, take away their iPads, right? So we're not going to, Willie's Water Park or wherever you've been going, right?
Mm. Thank God you're not ever tasked with naming a water park.
Right, you take them out Lisa can read a book, or even Lisa could come with you, because I can imagine the swan would love being in the company of butterflies, right? Maybe try and find one in Portugal, a butterfly enclosure. Do you want me to find one and buy some tickets?
No, thank you. Well, first of all, the idea of me taking the family out on a day that you've organised.
Out of your, all your boys, any of them, do you think any of them would dig the butterfly experience?
I think they would. I mean, they're all into that kind of thing. Not into, that's an exaggeration, but they like that sort of stuff. But I don't like it when they land on you. I find it a bit, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that with a hornet or a fly, but like a butterfly, just like, have you ever touched a butterfly with your fingers?
No, I haven't.
Every now and again,
have you?
Well, yeah, I have. Like, you'll find like quite a brave butterfly, and if you really slowly move your hand, you can just stroke it, just really ever so.
Right.
Yeah. It's quite nice.
Is what you're saying true? Have you stroked a butterfly?
Yeah.
And do you like butterflies?
Yeah, I like butterflies, man. Okay. Yeah.
I do too. I think they're very nice, but I don't know. I don't know
if there is any. I don't know if what they're called, butterfly shepherds or like butterfly experts out there. Just shout out to you guys. Thank you for all your hard work.
If there's any, big up yourselves. If there's any butterfly enthusiasts, we'd love to hear from you.
I wonder if that would be quite nice. I think like, that'd be a real diverse crowd if we've got like a butterfly fan who listens to this. Like,
yeah, definitely, definitely. But I did see that message from that guy who said, who said Romesh was nice despite what Tom says.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Quite bizarre. I've never quite ever said anything. What was he like, the guy, when you met him?
Do you want to know exactly what he said?
Yeah, go on, mate. Yeah, I want to know exactly.
He said, can I have a photo? Is it this mini golf place?
Right.
And
how were you playing, by the way?
Pardon? Do you know what? I was actually on pretty good form. I was pretty pleased with myself, I sort of got into
his.
I came second.
Who won?
Your favourite, Alex.
Oh, good. Yeah. Got a steely way about him, Alex.
Yeah. We're walking out of the thing, and he said, can I have a photo taken? Can I have a photo, please, or whatever? And I said, yeah, of course. And then he got his family around. This is always a thing with photos. Not always a thing, but it happens a lot where they go, come on, let's get a photo taken with Romesh. And everybody else is like, why the fuck would I want a photo taken with him? Right. So there's a bit of awkwardness there. And then he goes, and his little daughter, his youngest daughter, was there as well. And he said, come on, get a photo with Romesh. And then he goes to me, she's a big fan of the Wolf and Our podcast, like as a joke. And I went, all right. Yeah. And then he goes, yeah, she loves listening to people talking about nothing but crap all the time.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And then I said to him, listen, I don't often say this to people in front of their children, but you, my friend, are a and then it got really awkward.
You know what? In all fairness, it's probably quite nice for her to listen to us talking about crap rather than having to listen to your fucking jokes.
Oh, my God. No, he was very nice. He's very nice. And he listened to the podcast, so he's almost certainly going to hear that little exchange with us there. So,
Very nice to meet you, mate.
Very nice to meet you.
Yeah. Thank you for rubbing it in my face that you're in Portugal and I'm not. Actually, on a basis of that, I had a rather creepy experience with someone who wanted a photo the other day. So I took a friend
of ours. By the way, this is probably not going to come up now, is it, for a while? You get people asking it for their photo.
Yeah,
because you look completely different.
I look like a thumb. At the moment, so
you look like whatever place you happen to find yourself in, you'd be a tourist. That's what you look like.
A tourist who has no idea why he's there. I genuinely look at this camera and I just feel very disappointed that I've.
So you've been all the way through this podcast. You've been I would describe you as being on top form, right? You've been very confident. Your butterfly stuff was exceptional, and then I assume now that that's because you hadn't looked at yourself at all. Because just then, as you were talking, you looked at your own image in the Zoom, and you almost shut down. I mean, it really
you know
is,
what you it really, was? It's like a footballer taking a bad touch.
Mm.
or like someone just holding a mirror up. But yeah, so I went bowling with friends of ours, kids, like we were looking after their kids for a couple of days. Yeah. And we went bowling, and basically this guy who's staring at me for, you know, just literally
this
like...
this is post-shave, is it?
No, this is pre-shave.
Pre-shave.
Right. So staring at us with these, you know, we've got his friend's kids with us, and he's just staring over, and I'm like, ugh. And he's drinking a pint, and it's fucking 11 o'clock in the morning. And you're like, he's with his family. Anyway, I'm like, at some point, yeah, this guy. Anyway.
So you got super, like, you got super judgmental about something that in another context you'd have happily done yourself.
No, but I find it, I don't mean you've got kids, I haven't got kids, but I find it very, very, very awkward when there's children in the mix. I will say this. I think it's a very awkward scenario. For number one, like, yeah, they're not my kids, so you're straight away feeling quite protective over them.
Mm-hmm.
But which you do with your own kids. But,
no, absolutely. But also, right. When it's somebody else's kids, you care. But when it's your own kids.
No, but then you've got to
explain. Practically handing them over to strangers. But anyway, go on.
Then you've got to explain to them why a man would walk over, which he did, and say, can I have a photo with you?
Right.
Like having to explain to two young lads and go, oh, yeah, this is what. But also, what was really strange is he comes over. I'm playing on the arcade game with one of the kids. And he said, oh, I don't mind watching the other boy. And I'm like, no, he's fine, yeah. It was very creepy. But then he said, oh, can I get a picture? And I was like, well, I'm just with these guys at the moment. If you wait for a second, my wife will be back and I'll do a picture. Yeah, just give us a second. And he went, oh, I don't mind us all being in it. I was just like, no, that's a weird state of affairs. Yeah, let's hold off on that one.
And then he said, actually, do you mind just stepping aside and I'll get a photo of the boy?
I just found the whole thing very, very creepy, right? And then, so I had a bit of a chat, and as you know, I always have tried to get on with people, and I asked, you know, I sort of was like, you know, da 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 da, whatever, sort of tried to have a bit of a chat.
Do you want to join us for a drink or whatever? The kind of stuff you normally say when people approach you.
It brought me a pint, and then, yeah. But then he was like, oh, you know, how are you playing? And then after that, that was it. He almost joined our party. He was constantly coming over, right. You know. It was everything that it took him everything he had not to start throwing balls within our game.
Right.
And then I was like, how do I just tell him that this he's overstepped the mark?
Mm.
This is now, like, I should have shut it down a lot earlier, right. But I was trying to be decent. And yeah, and then that was it. Then he just kept on coming over. And by then he had 3 or 4 pints. It was like midday. And then he brought over some chicken wings. He started offering them around, didn't you? It's all very strange.
Do you feel like this? Do you feel there's any argument that this problem might be slightly of your own creation?
Yeah, I know. I should have just told him no to the picture.
Well, just you know, generally, the kind of vibe that you give on this podcast, and sort of generally, is
he'd never heard the podcast. Anybody
that comes up to you is essentially like you treat him as a family member.
No, but he'd never heard the podcast. He'd never watched King Gary. Because he told me. He told me quite explicitly. Right.
Do you catch but another glimpse of yourself there?
You know, yeah, his favourite show that I'd done was League of Their Own and Open All Hours.
Oh, my God.
That
really?
Was his favourite two things that I'd done. Open All Hours, I'm in for like 45 seconds. And League of Their Own, fair enough. I'd, you know, but yeah, they were his favourite two things.
The Swan's in the building. Hello, Swan.
Hello.
How you doing?
How you doing, Lisa?
I can't get the thing. Hello.
How are you doing, Lisa?
What do you think of Tom's... What do you think?
He said his beard off!
Yeah, what do you think?
I know.
You look younger.
I know, I hate it.
He looks younger, but horrible, right?
No, obviously
it's so weird.
No, but he looks younger, but like a younger, uglier guy, right?
No.
No.
Rom, so stop trying to put words in our mouth, Rom.
Do you prefer him with or without the beard?
Oh, I like him both ways. He looks nice both ways.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. Oh, bless you.
I prefer you with the beard, though.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's actually really giving me the confidence. I felt a little bit, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Which, you know what's nice, is that when your wife gives a shit about the self-esteem of everyone except for you.
Maybe we should get
genuinely, though, you do look really nice. I was trying to get her to put the boot in, but you do look really...
I need to put a little bit of fake tan on, if I'm honest with you. I look quite pale.
What did it feel like when you put your hand on your face?
It feels strange. I did a whole video of me shaving it off as well. Wanted me to do it. Yeah, they wanted me to do it for like the show.
What are you talking about? Oh, what is it? Hold on, what do you mean for the show?
So it's like a show, like, so they can just sort of see the change of like shaving off, and then we're going to do like all the makeup and stuff. I look very different in this show. It's like the makeup.
Is this for socials for the show?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like, you're always very hot on that, aren't you? Sort of that's the extra content.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very hot on that, and obviously socials for this, considering it, me and you never been. I have quite a few people messaging me saying, why don't we ever put up a post?
I don't know.
I like to think it's like a secret club, like Fight Club, this. Sort of people, sort of, it's word of mouth that does it. And it's not necessarily our word, it's our mouth that the words are coming from.
No. Oh, God. You know, a sort of, it is bad, isn't it? The way we promote this podcast is bad.
Yeah. I don't know how other people do it. I don't even know how many people, like, listen to this thing.
No, I don't know either. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know if people that do listen to it like it. Occasionally, I look at the reviews. Let's have a look, see if we've got any. We've had a couple of negative ones, I can tell you that.
Have we?
Not recently, but we do get a negative one. Something.
Yeah, I try not to look too much into it.
It's very much.
I will shout out the positive people that message me, though. I like that. That get a kick out of it.
Here we go. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at the last few reviews. Oh, here we go. These are really nice.
Go on.
Just found this podcast and love it. I've laughed out loud to two relatable experiences. I listened to two very funny men. Isn't that nice?
That's nice.
A few one-star reviews, though. Do you want me to find a negative one? Read it out.
Yeah, go on. It's always good to feel shit about yourself, but also feel shit about the work that you're doing with your best mate.
Yeah. With a lot of five stars, mate. I'm going to be honest with you. Just scrolling through. Positive, 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 positive. Positive, 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 positive. God, this looks really like a fucking absolute self-congratulatory exercise, this. Oh, here we go. I like it.
Well, one-star review, and it says, I like it.
No, it's five-star, that one. Do you know what, mate? I'm struggling to find something negative here. I'm sure we did have negative ones, though, didn't we? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think we probably did at some point. I think, you know what? It's like, let's focus on the positive vibes and the positive people out there.
Oh, here we go. This is a negative one. Same podcast every time is the title of this review. 2 stars. You do you, I do unsubscribe. Let me know when the Swan has her own podcast.
Wow.
So there you go. That's negative. So is it also weird?
Yeah. Every podcast is the same every week. I've listened to Joe Rogan for years. It's not like all of a sudden Joe Rogan makes a sketch show on here.
No, he talks about cooking some elk and what it's done for his muscle tone or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the same as every good podcast is the same thing every week.
Yeah, do you know what, though? I think it's because we don't really...
We don't have any structure.
Well, we'd have to say it so damningly, but no, we don't have any structure.
No, because all of our competitors have, like, and shout out to some amazing podcasts, but they have a structure and they have a theme. We have none.
Yeah, and also the other thing I saw is that... our episodes, like other people, because they've got a theme, they can call their episodes different things, like the pie episode. Like we had the aliens episode, didn't we? But now, when you look at any of the listings for the podcast, it'll be like, you see like off menu, talk to, Ray Spall. And then it'd be like, Wolf and Owl, episode 35. Like that's...
You know what could be good? Is going through them all and just... Like, that could be a little thing for you to do in your holidays, going through and naming them all.
No, but James does do a little description for them all.
Yeah, which is great.
But we don't have names.
Maybe we should go through, that could be like your homework while you're out in Portugal. Go through naming them.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to ruin the last few days.
How many days have you got left out there?
About 3.
Oh, my days.
Mm.
That last swim is always so emotional, isn't it, man?
I know the last we went to one of our favourite restaurants. Well, our favourite holiday restaurants for the last time last night. That's quite sad. I say it's quite sad. The kids don't appreciate the gravity of it because to them life is an ever extending yawning eternity, isn't it? Whereas Lisa and I look at each other and think we're never gonna, you know, we're on the slump now. Do you know what I mean? We're on the sort of decline. Next year, the eldest kid probably won't want to come on holiday with us. You know, all of that.
He's only like 12, isn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, he started to find me embarrassing. I told you.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, but the thing about it is you've probably got 3 years of him being really embarrassed and then he will just say, I'm not going to come with you. Now, he's not going to find you any less embarrassing now until probably he's 25, 26.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Cool pep talk. Right, should we do some emails?
No, but then Charlie and Alex are going to think you're really cool for a while still, so.
Yeah, do you know what we did yesterday at dinner?
Yeah.
Which was desperately uncool.
Yeah.
We each... I don't know why we got into this. We took it in turns to do a little freestyle rap.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's like we did like an 8 Mile style battle. No, Lisa decided to opt out of it.
Who was the best?
Well, no, if you're asking me, I think I was the best. But the kids would dispute that.
Yeah, but you're against three kids. I mean, you sort of, like, at your kids, who's the best?
Yeah, but you're asking who was the best. You asked if Lisa took part. So there you go. You've set up the expectation that adults are getting involved. Then you said, who was the best? Who was the best? I was the best.
Yeah, but I actually think it was a bit showy off of you and a little bit blasé of you to be, I was the best, I was the coolest. Like, you're standing
in the
restaurant.
You said who was the best?
No, but it's like the way you said it was so sort of like, you know, the listeners wouldn't have seen, but you laid back like you're a cartoon bunny and you're like so slick about it. You're like, yeah, that was the best, baby. That's the best.
It's incredible how you can, you sort of got this way back where we know what actually happened because it happened 15 seconds ago. Yeah. Because you say it like that, people that have heard everything will still believe that's what happened. It's incredible. It's Trump-esque. Okay.
Trump-esque.
I'm going to say to you now, I don't think I've ever been worse on this podcast than today.
Mate, let me tell you, you definitely have.
Right, here we go.
You've been great today.
I haven't. Yeah, I feel like I'm in really, like, I'm in such holiday.
Mate, enjoy it. Look, I'm going to shout out and I want everyone to send pictures of themselves on holidays to
Please
Rom.
Do
just
not
to
do
cheer
it.
Them up. Mate, Holiday Rom is Please so fucking cool that. And slick. I like Holiday Rom. It's fucking a chilled vibe, yo.
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's have a little look at some emails. Hello, the swan, the wolf, and the wise old owl. It goes without...
Oh, mate, that is my favourite opening to an email since we've been doing the wise old owl. Oh, jeez. Jeez, Louise.
It goes without saying, loving your work to the max. Let's get the bit over and done with to begin with. On to my question, though. Shocked and extremely saddened by the news of Sean Locke's death. I was wondering if you had any stories about him. He was my absolutely favourite comedian, if I'm allowed to say that to a comedian without being offensive. Obviously, this isn't a diss. I just love the man. I'm not ashamed to say I had a little cry when I heard of his passing. To date, he's been the only person to make me laugh so much I've cried and wet myself. Who makes you cry and piss yourself with laughter? Did Sean ever do it for you? Peace, the turtle.
Yeah, I think it... Such sad news. Such, like, yeah. I think Sean, I knew him. I was a massive fan of him. I think the thing that was incredible with Sean was that he was, sort of as a working class comedian who came from sort of like our world. His ability to sort of, like, you know, tell stories and step out into sort of stuff that was a bit more surreal. I think, yeah, he was just a phenomenal comedian. And like, I remember when Murder and Successful, the first series had come out, and seeing him at in Shepherd's Bush and bumping into him and him being a fan of the show, and just taking that time, it meant a lot. And he was, I think, a very inspiring person. I think, you know, for me anyway, I think, like, sort of whenever I'd gigged with him, and sort of it sort of made me sort of want to step out of sort of trying to be like a sort of a geezer comedian or whatever. I think he was a phenomenal talent, and will be sort of very, very sadly missed. And it's a sad day for our industry. And I remember him, I think someone else talked about this, but I remember seeing him at like a benefit at the O2, and him coming out, and everyone else was playing it like it was the O2, and he played it like it was Up the Creek. It was just like amazing, just sort of just how chilled he was, just coming out into this fucking massive fucking arena. I think, yeah, he was a very special person. I think within our industry as well, he was sort of almost like the godfather of it, in a sense. So yeah, it's a sad day.
It was. I always get slightly nervous about saying something that's been said loads and loads and loads. But he was like almost every comedian's favorite comedian. Do you know what I mean? Like when you as a comic watching panel shows, you know, nobody really did it like Sean did. You know, it was amazing. And I think the thing that made everyone love Sean so much is, first of all, it was completely unexpected what he'd come out with. You know, you just wouldn't know where he'd go. But also, it just never looked like he was trying very hard. And that's always like, it's always a really endearing thing if you watch, you know, like Tom was talking about him doing the O2. He looked like he would just come out and everybody else is getting hyped up and stuff, and he'd just come out and do it, and it was like he didn't care. And that is an amazing thing. And he never really looked like he was grabbing for laughs. So he would come out and, you know, I saw Sean do gigs that were tough, and he would always back himself to get the audience on side. So even if a gig had been really quiet up to the point before he went on, he would just win an audience over. He was brilliant. And it was really sad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the Swan included that just because the Turtle Ears talked about how Sean was their favourite comic, and she wanted us to just sort of read that. Yeah, bit of a, you know, in case we get too cocky doing the podcast or whatever. We should find an email where somebody talks about who their favourite email compiler is and read that out. Okay. Next up, hello to the wolf, the owl, and the swan. First of all, I'd like to thank the three of you for such a stellar podcast. Ginny, appreciate the effort you put into making these for all of us. A few years ago, I drove to my parents in North Wales from London on Christmas Eve to enjoy the holiday with my family. Because of the time of year, the heavy snow, and my partner at the time's inability to be ready on time, the drive took just over 8 hours. We arrived at my parents' place just after 1 a.m. We were tired, cold, visibly frustrated, and not at all in the Christmas spirit. After taking one look at us, my parents very kindly insisted we take their bed for the evening and that they would sleep on the pull-out bed downstairs. After a lot of back and forth, we finally agreed, and after a warm shower, climbed into their bed for a good night's sleep. As I rearranged the pillows, trying to get comfortable, I felt something under one of them. I retrieved my hand, only to find that I was holding what looked like to be my father's cock ring.
Wow.
After scrubbing my hands with every type of disinfectant I could find, I carefully put it back under the pillow, and for the remainder of the night, slept on the cold, hard floor. I couldn't look either parent in the eye the next morning. My question to you is this. Have either of you found yourselves in an equally embarrassing situation with a close family member? And what was the outcome? I don't think I've ever been in a situation
where I've found my father's cock ring.
I found your dad's cock ring once.
But that's never mind. Same thing. So.
I've got a couple of naive questions to ask, Tom.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, hit me.
What is a cock ring for? I mean, I know it's for your cock, but what is the purpose of it?
I actually genuinely, I'm with you. I think, I don't quite know. I think, you know, I think it makes your penis not go flaccid. I think once the blood's in your penis, it stays in there.
It sort of traps it there.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm just going to look this up on my phone.
Yeah, have a look.
Hold on a sec. Okay. Let me just go to private, just in case one of the kids gets my phone. What should I Google? What is...
does a cock ring do?
What does a cock ring do? What does a cock ring do? Hello, Charlie. No, I'm just joking. What does a cock ring do? Okay. A penis ring fits around the base of the penis and testicles.
And testicles?
So hold on.
It's a big old ring.
Oh, no, sorry. All the penis. Well, for you, maybe. A penis ring fits around the base of the penis or the penis and testicles and applies pressure to the surrounding area. It will trap the blood in the penis for longer and increases the total amount of blood in the penis for a stronger erection. It's interesting, isn't it, how you sort of pretended to not know, but what's clear is you gave a textbook definition of what the cock ring was for.
No, but that's also, I know genitalia, not my genitalia, so it doesn't really, yeah. It's like me when we were talking about butterflies, I have an instinctive knowledge of stuff.
Mm. Does that sound like something you'd dabble in?
I don't think I'd ever get a cock ring if I'm. It sounds like sort of like a bit of a fad, a bit of a sort of fussy sort of thing. I remember when we were kids, I had a friend, thou shall not name him, I was just about to. But he used to know where his dad's pornos were. And he used to sort of like get them out when we used to go around his house.
Yeah, but everyone had a mate like that, didn't they?
Yeah. But I also remember his mum used to sunbathe like naked. Like in the summer, which was always quite weird.
His mum used to sunbathe naked in the back garden.
Yeah, like when we'd all go around there. Like we'd sort of like be 13, 14. Oh, my God. Okay. And she sort of, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely didn't masturbate about that.
Did you? He didn't see his mum. So, yeah, it was quite a strange lad. But, yeah, that's probably the only thing like that, I think.
I haven't ever used a cock ring, and I feel sort of embarrassed that I didn't know what it was for now. But I do want to just—it just has reminded me of something that happened the other day with the swan that I do want to—that I do want to sort of talk about. So we were having a chat, and we were talking about people splitting up and getting and remarrying and whatever, right?
Yeah,
getting in new relationships. And I said to Lisa, I don't think if I said to her, if I don't think if you and I split up, I can't imagine getting in another relationship because I just can't be arsed now. You know, like I just sort of.
Yes, I thought you were going to say something else at the end of that, but yeah, that's.
Yeah, because.
You couldn't imagine living without Lisa or something really sweet, but you can't be bothered.
No, you know, like I just sort of. But what I mean is, if we got to a situation where we just, for whatever reason, we fell out of love or we just decided it's better to live apart. I can't be bothered to set up with someone else, right? Is what I said to her. And she almost instinctively went, what, not even for like casual sex or something? Like that. And the way she said it, honestly, mate, she said it so quickly and with such gusto, it made me almost think she's having casual sex with someone currently.
Let me say, by the way, just because I've just clocked it, you have got quite a sexy sort of vibe because you've got like a Tom Cruise V-neck top on at the moment.
No. Do you know what this is? This is like it's not supposed to be a V-neck. It's just where like I fuck the collar on it. I would never wear a V-neck.
There's nothing
wrong with a V-neck if that's your
my guy's fucking gone away for a month and fucking busting a scoop neck.
This what? Look at that shit.
What would you do if I regularly wore a V-neck?
Look at this.
Just put it down right in the right place. And Captain Holliday in a V-neck. I mean, that's an embarrassing thing to find, isn't it? Also, shout out your parents for experimenting and fucking keeping that shit real. But you think that if you're going to offer your bed, you just whiz up and just go, oh, actually, I've just better check like the cock ring's not under.
I can't imagine a situation. Okay, I'm trying to think of a situation because if you keep a cock ring under your pillow, first of all,
why would you keep it under your fucking pillow? Honestly, don't you have a bedside table?
It goes on your dick, man. Why would you put it somewhere that you rest your face?
Genuinely, right? Are you that lazy that when you're taking your cock ring off, right, you're just putting it under your pillow for the next time you use it?
If I did have a cock ring. And I finished utilising it with the swan. And I just went, I said to her, right, there you go. Back under the pillow it goes. I honestly think she'd call me out.
Mate, of course you. It's disgusting. Like, you go and wash it under hot water, right? Give it a little dry and then put it back in a drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you know what? Maybe. So you're, okay, so say it goes in a drawer, right?
Yeah.
what if, you know, because putting on a cock ring is like, there's an extra level. There's a bit of extra sort of ceremony to it. It's like, you know, when you get a condom.
Yeah.
It's the bit where you go, right, I've got to put the, you know, there's a bit of awkwardness and admin, isn't there, in sort of getting the condom.
Condoms are the worst thing in the world. They're so unsexy.
Yeah, exactly. So you try and make a game of it or try and sort of incorporate it into the sexy time. But it never really works, does it?
No, so
there's
no.
always a bit of fladdling about where you fucking realise you put it on the wrong way.
Condoms had a Christian name, it would be Ian or Neil.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello. I know that you didn't necessarily want me here, but I am necessary for the party to continue.
Seems like you two are having a really good time. Is there any way in the world that I can get involved?
Now, just so you know, it's not enough that I'm present. I do have to be utilised properly in order to have full efficacy.
But cockering isn't into that, unless,
No, but what I'm saying is an extra bit of admin. You know, you're about to go and have sex, okay? You're about to have sex. It's difficult enough to get yourself into that situation where you're having sex, right? To then go, I think it's cock ring time. And then, you know, maybe if you then lean over to a drawer and open a drawer, your other half's going, what are you doing? I was just going to go get my cock. Whereas if it's under the pillow, straight.
I think a cock ring, right? A condom is necessary, like an umbrella or waterproof when it's raining, right? There's a reason to have the condom. A cock ring is like a cock ring would be, it's like getting a boat because it's raining. It's a big fucking dramatic thing to throw into the mix anyway. So there's got to be some sort of ceremony around
it. I get what you're saying. Noah loved a cock ring.
So if you're not reaching for, I think if you're going to get it out of the drawer, you're like, I better get, the cock ring out. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like when I'm saying a drawer, I don't think he's got it in his office and he has to slip out and just
but then you've got to sort of lean over and open the drawer and get the cock ring out. It's sort of, you're suggesting it's then cock ring time. Whereas if it's under the pillow, you can just sort of slip it on, can't you? It's less, what I'm saying is there's less admin. Because the other thing is, if you've got a cock ring under your pillow and you've forgotten it's under there, that suggests a number of unsanitary things. You haven't used it for a long time, so you've forgotten it's there.
Yeah, but that means you haven't changed your fucking bed sheet for ages.
Exactly. There's a lot going on here to unpick.
And also, in the thing, he says, I had to get rid of some of the pillows and cushions, which you insinuate that there's a lot of pillows and cushions, right? A lot of debris on the bed.
Yeah.
So you'd have to sort of like, that means that there's a lot of those cushions are getting moved around quite a lot of the time.
Sure.
Cushion people are very, and pillow people, there's a lot of shifting about of pillows. It's not like they, so.
There's a bit of ceremony, isn't there? Right?
Yeah.
When you get a bed, you've got to take them off and whatever. I mean, I think what I'm getting from this, I might need to try a cock ring.
Maybe I'll buy you one for your next birthday.
Do you reckon they do like, they must do like novelty ones. Like you must be able to get a Back to the Future one.
Or a Batman one.
Yeah, looks like the ring from the Flux Capacitor. Speaking of Captain America, have you seen the new Spider-Man trailer that came out this morning?
Nope. Is it good?
Do you know what? The way you said no, that I was going to get into a little bit of a discussion, but you love doing this superior thing where...
I think it's cute that you're on holiday.
Here we go, sad bastard.
It's cute that you've done that on your birthday.
it just appeared on my phone.
More like you've got up this morning and gone, Charlie, Alex, Theo, everyone downstairs.
You know, I do gather the kids around when a trailer like that comes around.
Do you really?
Yeah. It's pathetic, isn't it?
Where's mummy? Just cleaning daddy's cock ring. Oh, there was a fucking Karcher spray.
Yeah, just spraying down the cock ring that's shaped like Thanos' glove.
Shaped like some old web from Spider-Man.
Oh, it's really difficult getting this grime off from behind this Infinity Stone.
Let's take it to a jeweller's to get it rubbed off.
Anyway, it's exciting. Do you get excited by trailers? Any kind of trailers?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Like the new Sopranos one was good. I've never watched the whole films, but I always watch the Marvel trailers because I think you pretty much know what's going on in the film when you just watch the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, I am going to say something quite controversial now.
Go on.
Maybe there are too many Marvel films coming out. Like, you know, like, it feels like this every fucking 2 months is another trailer. I can't fucking keep up with this. It's actually becoming a major part of my expenditure now. Staying also across this shit.
Yeah, but then you've got the new one about Snake Eyes, is it?
What? That's a G.I. Joe thing. Yeah, the origin story. That's a film that nobody fucking wants, isn't it?
And then you've got like the Black Widow one that's come out. Yeah, there's quite a few of them, aren't there?
Snake Eyes, fun fact, my nickname at uni.
Really?
Yeah, not for good reasons.
Oh, because you were quite pervy?
Yeah, that's right. No, just because of my lazy eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody started calling me Snake Eyes and then it sort of stuck.
Oh, that's not cool. I think it would be better if it had been because you're sort of quite pervert. Snakes are quite sort of like... That's a bad nickname, man.
Right. Yeah, well, thank you. Sadly, it stuck the whole way through uni, so... shout out to that crew. Anyway, listen, have we got any... Does this guy... Oh, he wasn't really after advice, this bloke. He just wanted to know if he'd had any embarrassing experiences. I can tell you one.
Go on.
So, I moved back in with my parents when I was just for a little bit while I was getting settled, and I brought a load of stuff back, and one of the I can't remember why I got these, and this sounds a bit. I'm fully aware this sounds a bit dodgy, even as I'm telling the story, but like for a joke. I think, or it might have been a Secret Santa or something. Somebody got me a pair of pink fluffy handcuffs, right? As a
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
That's a strange thing to get, like, a guy in his 30s.
I can't remember the context, which makes this sound dodgy. I can't remember the context of me getting these handcuffs. Anyway.
Did you steal them for, like, a stag do type thing?
Maybe. I can't remember. Anyway, whatever. So I just thrown them, like... Under the there's like on the bed at my mum and dad's house, there's like a little storage space under the bed, and I just threw him in there or whatever. When I like took my stuff around there, anyway, my brother a few weeks later came to speak to me and he said, Mum asked to have a chat with me, and I said, why? And he said, she thinks you're into some kinky shit.
It's a generational thing that
yeah, it is like that
feels
like
big. So basically, for us, that feels very twee and very like. Even when you said it, I just thought like,
yeah,
you've been to a bit of a naff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You've even been to a weird hen do or like a weird stag do.
Yeah, it's just something stupid like that. So you just don't think anything of it. Anyway, apparently my mum found these handcuffs and just started freaking out that I was some sort of like sexual deviant, and so like.
The Ripper.
And so, like, took my brother aside to discuss, like, an intervention or something where they were going to, like, chat to me about my sort of sadomasochist tendencies and stuff like that. Even if I did have sadomasochist tendencies, that'd still be all right. But it just opened up this door to my mum that her son was, like, a sex freak.
Have you ever spoken to her about it?
Yeah. My brother, like, brought it up in front of her, like, the next
That's
time.
That's good.
She found it really difficult to chat to him about. And then he just thought, Right, let me make this. Let me make this a subject of ridicule for my mother. Anyway, but she was like, really, as soon as like my brother like told her like you got nothing to worry about, da 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 da, she was totally fine. But he said that she was really like she was freaky, like fuck, really like worried when she found these handcuffs. Just like, what is my son into?
Also, who is he going to be bringing home?
Yeah,
he's also into that.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so he's sort of moved back in. He's brought his handcuffs back because he's planning on one of his nasty sex parties.
Or he just puts them in his pocket and goes out for the evening.
Put them on the belt loop because you never know.
I just think they're so like, it just sort of throws my mind to sort of like, you know, yeah, when you sort of like you're in Yates's wine lodge and someone's got like those on and it's just everyone's trying to have a great time. I just think there's so sort of such a naffness around them.
That you know that enforced fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just
yeah.
The worst.
Yeah, and then not everyone's got fucking straws in the shapes of cocks and whatever. It's just sort of all a bit like, I don't know, maybe I'm getting old.
I think we're both getting old, mate. Oh, by the way, speaking of getting old, do you want to hear something absolutely fucking depressing?
Go on.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
You like that film?
Great film. Amazing film.
Yeah. Myrtle.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps going, I'm getting too old for this shit. I'm too old for this shit. Do you know how old he was when he said that?
56.
42.
What?
He was 42.
You know, actually, if we were going to remake a film,
yeah,
that's what we should do.
If we were going to make an absolutely dreadful remake of Lethal Weapon. How does that even work?
I'd be Griggs and you'd be Murta.
Yeah, I get that based purely on colour. There is based on
personality more than anything else, mate. Like, fucking don't even think about
you're,
the fact
you're,
that...
Sorry, you're going to be what? The young, crazy cop that people can't figure
out? Yes, the cool one. And then you're like, you know, the sort of more whimsical, like, fucking one who's, like, not shot anyone for a while but used to be a good Deadeye.
Oh, I'm getting too old for this shit. And then you go, you're 6 months older than me.
Which is one of the best jokes of the whole film. It's a better film, you know, actually, if there's only 6 months difference and one of them can't grow up.
Tom, Riggs is like doing all sorts of crazy stunts and shit. Oh, have you said that? We've seen Action Team, haven't we? We know you've got...
Just chatting it out now. If there's any film backers out there who want to get involved, obviously.
If there's anybody that's willing to, would rather do this than set fire to $7 million.
No, you don't need 7 million. I reckon you make the whole thing for 3 million.
Okay.
If your fee comes down.
If anybody's got $3 million and they want to make the Lethal Weapon remake with me and Tom Davis, we'd love to hear from you.
I can just see it now, like you sort of coming.
So it'd be based in Britain, I take it.
Yeah. We'd have to get you an old grey suit. I've got most of the Griggs costume.
Yeah. Why do you keep calling him Griggs?
Riggs, isn't it? Griggs.
Riggs.
I used to have a teacher called Mrs. Griggs.
Did you?
She was nothing like the guy from the film. She was a home education. She looked like, more like Splinter from.
So your teacher hasn't got the same name as Riggs was nothing like Riggs from the film Lethal Weapon.
I would have loved him as a teacher. But I have got a pair of Chelsea boots and a pair of quite tight jeans and a leather jacket, so I've got my own costume.
Do you reckon that film holds up now?
I'd actually like to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
I'll probably will now watch it and then like see if there's anyone out there who wants to just rewrite it for an English, sort of two guys who aren't that far apart.
Yeah, and we work in Croydon or something.
Yeah, or Crawley. Then we can tune in to your house and I can stay at your house while we're filming.
It's a good idea.
There's more cost-saving measures.
There you go, yeah.
Lisa could do the catering.
Yeah, there you go. Look, guys, listen, this is sounding more and more more and more viable. Please do get in touch. Okay. Should we do one more?
Let's do one more, my G.
Hello, Wolf, Owl and Swan. Just listen to the latest episode where you discuss snacks and was prompted to email him when Tom mentioned the criminally underrated chocolate bar Drifter.
Drifters. Wow, shout out Drifters.
When I was at uni, the closest corner shop to me didn't stock Drifters. I spoke to the shop owner about this travesty. And he said that not enough people buy them, so he stopped getting them. I explained I was living up the road for the year and buy all that he stocked. He agreed to get a box, and I bought 3 Drifters a day for every day I lived there.
On my life, this person is an incredible. Like this, they've like blown me away.
Mm.
I just love that they've got a cause and they've stuck to it. Fucking legend.
Yeah, absolute legend. And just to give you some context, Tom only says that 3 or 4 times an episode. Looking back, I probably should have just ordered a box online for myself for considerably less outlay, but I was a creature of habit and was addicted to Drifters at the time. What I discovered was that if you bit off each end of a Drifter, you could drink through it like a straw, similar to what can be achieved with a Kit Kat or a Breakaway. Tom's got an immediate erection there, just so you know. I could tell that straight away.
No, I've done it so many times.
So what I started doing was combining the best snack with the best beverage and drinking banana Nesquik through a drifter bar.
Well, I haven't done that yet.
Then. The Nesquik would get that injection of sweetness by being pulled through the drifter. This, you two have got to fucking hang out, man. The Nesquik would get that injection of sweetness by being pulled through the drifter, and the drifter would burst with cold, refreshing milkshake when bitten into. It's
if
unreal.
This person's not writing for fucking Nestle or Cadbury, this person should be an advert writer. Actually, maybe their writing skills should come on the Lethal Weapon remake.
The drifter would burst with cold, refreshing milkshake. To me, sort of evokes a boil being kind of last.
Oh, come on. It sounds delicious and delicate.
Even you know that's not a fucking word.
No, no, it came out of my mouth. Yeah. I just got so excited.
My question to you is, do you have any quirky ways of eating things like this that you claim to have invented? So first of all, let us get your feedback. I've never done this drifter thing, and nor can I now, because I don't think there are vegan drifters around. So talk me through this, Tom.
I can tell you now, I'm going to go and get a drifter. I'm going to get some banana milkshake, and I'm going to smash that. I don't think... Can you even buy drifters now? I haven't seen them for ages.
Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah, so I'm going to get a drifter. I'm going to get some banana milkshake. I'm going to try this. Look, what's this person's name?
This person's name is Chris.
Chris.
Chris Lavey.
Chris what? Lavey. Chris Lavey. Shout out Chris Lavey, man. Look, I don't want to show off. The thing I'm probably, one of the things I'm known for most is inventing Wotsits in tomato soup. That was my invention a few years ago, called Croydon Croutons. Actually went on the Catherine Ryan podcast, talked about it before me and Romesh had a podcast. Shout out Catherine Ryan, someone who loves crisps and is a big fan of the snack genre. And actually also one here, shout out Bobby, who's become a very dear friend. So
do you want to give some context? Bobby's Catherine's husband.
Yeah, Bobby's Catherine's husband, and a legend and one hell of a golf player. So shout out Bobby.
But also, Bobby, just so you know, Tom's also called a legend, Chris, because he uses a drifter as a straw. So I just want to make sure people know the true meaning of these compliments you've thrown out.
I'd say Bobby was an epic legend. Anyway, and sometimes I'll while the day away, just me and Bobby messaging each other and chuckling. So yeah, shout out Bobby. Inventing a new snack, something that has become a cultural phenomena with Wotsits and tomato soup, is one of my proudest things. And I implore everyone, from, you know, man to woman to child to elderly person to, you know, across every diverse background that you can think of, go now as you listen to this, go to your local shop, to your local supermarket, buy a can of tomato soup. It must be Heinz. Buy some Wotsits. The small ones are better because they have more of an impactful cheese flavor. Go home, put the tomato soup in the microwave for 3.5 minutes. Then put the Wotsits in. Give the Wotsits time to soak in the tomato goodness, and then just enjoy. And when you're eating that, I want you to think of me and Romesh, just as the steam flows up, just sat across the table from you both, just smiling, just saying, you deserve this because you're a good fucking person.
When did you discover this? I'm sort of asking this question because I'm interested, and also because I want to bring your monologue to an end as quickly as possible. But when did you first discover this?
Many moons ago. A long, long time ago. It was when I wasn't I wasn't in this business. So I was scratching around for money, and I used to always think, like, what are two of my favorite things to put together? I'm not going to say it now. Someone had to try it. And that person was me. I fucking jumped into the ring with two of the greatest fucking, you know, food things ever made in Wotsits and tomato sauce and put them together. I'm sure someone else would have done it. I know that people have I tried it with Quavers. I'm not going to lie. Right? And Wotsits was the one. And every day that I have that snack, I think, fuck me, man, you put this on planet Earth.
Okay, cool.
So I think it was probably about 15 years ago that I invented it.
Chris, can I recommend to you the George Egg, the snack hacker, who does shit like this all the
George
time?
George Egg, by the way, is also a big fan of tomato soup with Wotsits. Me and him have chatted it over. So he's shout really good. Out George Egg.
And one of the things that George Egg does that I like doing, this is nowhere near as good as Croydon Croutons, by the way, is just including jalapenos into every single thing. So, like,
yeah.
he did this one video where he opens up a cheese and onion slice, stuffs it full of jalapenos and just chefs it up a little bit. You know, little things like that. Well worth a look. Check out what he's done.
Let me just say, like, jalapenos are a welcome handshake to any food sources. Shout out to jalapenos. And I sometimes think,
do you know what,
they,
Tom? Do you know what, Tom? I want to back you up on that. Shout out to jalapenos. They're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything more I can say to that apart from, yo, jalapenos, keep just doing you, yo.
Yeah, jalapenos, do you to the max.
Wow, baby.
Yeah. Okay, Tom, listen. It's been a dreadful episode from my point of view. I think I've been absolutely fucking shocking.
Mate, you've been incredible. You've been
next
incredible.
Next episode, I'm planning to sort of bring this back in some
way. You know what? I think at the moment, I'm
contemplating fucking retiring from it.
When you come back to this country, I want to do the next episode where I am going to go and get some massage oil and I'm going to massage your body and your ego and then we're going to fucking let this thing rip.
Okay. Tom, can you... It's the way you said that, honestly, if I had a cock ring, I would have put it on as you finished saying it. Tom,
right.
Can you do me the honour of taking us out?
It was a dewy Sunday, summer's eve, when Claire and Clarissa were driving home from what had been an amazing weekend at a friend's house. And they were listening to the radio and then no good songs were coming on and the person on the radio was annoying them a little bit. And Clarissa said, God, you know, what should we listen to? And Claire said, let me put some tunes on, some podcast tunes, tunes on my iPhone. So she puts it on, right? And the first song that comes on is Whitney Houston, How Will I Know? And they both start singing along. But within no time, both of them stop singing. And they sort of look at each other and Claire says to Clarissa, it's hard to sing along to Whitney because Whitney's so amazing. And she hits the higher notes that we can't hit. And Clarissa said, yeah, I know it sucks because, you know, I enjoy singing and her songs are so rhythmic and amazing and I love Whitney. But yeah, we just can't hit those high notes. And they sort of sit there in silence for a little while. And they drive past another family and they're sort of like singing and having a good time. And Claire looks at Clarissa and says, you know what? The fact of the matter is, maybe sometimes it's not about us hitting the high notes. It's about us enjoying the song. It's about us enjoying what Whitney has laid out for us. And although we're not as talented as her, it doesn't mean we can't have as much fun in singing those songs. And Clarissa looks out the window as the sun droops its weary face across the motorway and red hue comes across. And she says, you know what? That's true. That's true of everyone who's ever stepped on a Sunday league football pitch knowing that they'll never be as good as Lionel Messi, or anyone who has like made a toad in the hole knowing it won't be as good as Jamie Oliver. Some people can do things to an exceptional level and some people just do things for the joy of doing things. So don't always task yourself with being the best. Task yourself in enjoying the task at hand. That's life.
Was that, who was that directed at, Tom?
It's just directed in general. Just
right.
Why? What do you think it was directed
at?
No,
I don't know. It's just sort of...
I just think, no. Do you know what? The truth of the matter is, I wasn't talking about Claire and Clarissa. I was Claire or Clarissa this Sunday. I was driving home with my wife and I was singing along to Whitney Houston and Celine Dion. And I couldn't reach those high notes. And then I realised I was just enjoying singing. So.
I can't imagine Catherine sort of gave you any encouragement, though. That's the only thing that I'm sort of...
You know what? Some of my happiest times are sitting alongside Catherine in a car and just both just letting rip and singing. Do you and Lisa do that?
Very occasionally. I wouldn't describe them as my happiest times.
I love it. Makes me happy, the two of us singing. As the motorway gets eaten up and, you know, we might pull into a service.
Okay, let's not have a remix now.
My message is clear. Enjoy life. We won't always be here.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry about my performance on this episode. Take care.
We'll see you soon. I want everyone to send Romesh a picture or a video. Don't do that.
Love you guys. Take care. Bye bye.
Love and bean, Joe.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.